This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
The best part of holiday gifting? Giving them something they'll use all year. During December deal drops at Lowe's, save $40 on select Craftsman V20 tools, now just $59. Plus, all rewards members get free standard shipping. Shop new December deal drops every week this month. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, free shipping excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to change. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
Welcome to a very special episode of Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about scents, smells, and Tynan's hair journey.
But aren't they all special, Sable? Only some are about my hair journey. And what a journey it is.
What a journey it is. But the reason it's special is because we have our first sponsored guest, Sacred.
We are very excited to talk about all things hair care and fragrance on this episode and really dive into the complex scents in the collection. There's certainly a lot to talk about, and we're very excited that they were willing to partner with us on the show today.
Yeah. And I'm so excited that my hair looks this good.
It does. I mean, it does.
I'm honestly shocked. Honestly, like, damn.
I mean it. You so rarely post about product. And I saw you in your bathroom talking about your hair. And I was like, oh my gosh, she really likes this shit.
It was the biggest joke of my life to be like, wait, did I wake up like this? Like, actually, yes. I'm a night shower, so I'll wash my hair at night. And then I'll let it air dry for maybe like 2-3 hours before I go to bed. And it was just like a teeny bit damp. I went to bed. Also, like, I'm a princess. I have silk pillowcases for the hair, of course. And I wake up and it's like voluminous, perfectly waved, no frizz, like music video hair. And I was like, excuse me?
Well, it did look styled, even
styled. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
We're having a hair episode today, if you couldn't tell by the title that you clicked on. Thank you for joining us.
So, Miss Beyonce, thank you.
For that and so much more.
Yeah.
It's funny. Do you know that makeup brand Made by Mitchell?
No.
They're out of the UK. They make really cool shit, but obviously you can't get them here until now. And the brand pitched me and I was like, wait, like, I've been trying to get my hands on some stuff. Can you send me? And they did. And I didn't specify what I wanted. I was just like, anything pink or lavender will be good. When I tell you, and I don't, this is not a complaint, but it's just funny. When I tell you they sent me all Sable colors, just all of these like
terracotta,
like, yeah, they're all, I mean, they're all yours.
Wait, is it called Blursh?
Yeah, I can't stand the name.
I like it.
But like,
oh yeah, those are 100% me colors.
You're getting all of these. So
thank you, Mitchell.
Anyway, excited about that.
That's so fun. You're like, please send me pink or lavender. And they're like, have these warm terracotta shades.
Did you say brown?
So brown.
Right. I'm like, whatever. I can't complain.
The packaging looks cool.
It honestly really does, though. I haven't unboxed any of them yet, but that is kind of a dope logo, cool. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no.
Wait, Blursh is such a cute name. I know you hate it.
Awful name.
I love it. Because it blurs and it's blush. It's incredible.
Oh.
Wait, did you not get that?
No, I think it's just, that would be good if it's intentional. I don't think it is. I think it's just to be annoying. This one might be because it's obviously a baked formula. So like, I could see that, but it came first in a liquid. I don't think that's blurring.
Okay. It just sounds like you're trying to say blush with like a funny accent. Blush.
See, this is a thing. I knew you'd love it.
Let me put on my blush.
Jesus Christ. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I'm excited about this because there's just been so much chatter about this brand. I am wearing Lore Lovely and a Little Twisted, which is the most mouthful title of their 4 fragrance collection.
Yeah, it's chewy.
It's chewy. It's chewy. And I'm genuinely curious, like, why is this title a sentence? And the other ones are like, a word. Anyway, so this Lovely and a Little Twisted, they describe it as a candied floral milk, which I'm like, interesting. Haven't heard that before. They call out rose macaroons. You know, it's funny because on the box, it says macaroons with two O's, which I always thought is like the coconut little cookie. And then I'm like, do you guys mean macaron, like the French dessert that's like a tiny sandwich? Which I kind of think they do.
And I kind of like, think they do, right?
Yeah, like what's going on here? Anyway.
As a copywriter, this is my worst nightmare. A typo on pack. No.
No. Anyway, we got rose macaroons. We need someone to clear up. Is it macaroons or macarons? Like, which did you intend? Anyway,
well, now they're not going to come on the show because you called it out.
Well, that's going to be the first question we ask them. Just kidding. Okay, so following that, we've got amber resin, pistachio milk, patchouli, and lucid dreams, which I guess that's the storytelling note there.
I respect the storytelling note. I think that one might be like one step out of my comfort
zone. A little bit. I don't know what that's called. Like, but like,
reel it in, girls.
It's like, this whole line is just extremely concept-driven.
Yeah.
Concept.
That sounds gorgeous.
Whatever. It's beautiful. Who cares? Who cares that they don't make sense? It's beautiful. This scent is actually, I really like it a lot. I don't mean actually like in a derogatory way. I think I was just like, wow, this is a really unique scent profile that incorporates a lot of familiar things and it executes it in a new way that I don't think I've really smelled before.
Okay.
Because I really do get the concept of candy floral milk because it is sweetly lactonic, but then it has this very petally texture to it that's like dewy and translucent. It's almost like if you made rose milk or something like that. Out of
like
rose
a rose kind
of,
latte?
Yeah, like a rose, a little bit. Yeah, like a rose latte. Gross. That's kind of like, I've had one once and actually it was delightful. But I don't think it's, I mean, it is a floral for sure, but it doesn't read to me like a bouquet of flowers. I think because it's more lactonic rather than florally sweet.
Yeah. Like if you smelled it blind, would it take you to floral?
It would take me to almond.
Lactonic.
I dare say it's almost like a lactonic almondy floral.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it probably isn't too far from what they were going for. But then like the patchouli, I think, gives it a little bit of grounding, a tiny bit of earthiness. It's really pretty. And it's also really like, God, I hate the word yummy, but there is like kind of a little bit of like a mouth-watering quality to it.
I hear that word too.
Yeah, like if you made some fucking hypey latte drink out of this, out of a perfume, like it would probably smell like this.
It's a little treat fragrance.
It's a little treat fragrance. Yes.
There it is.
There it is. The rest of the collection's nice as well. I'm sure we'll go in depth with it if we ever get them to be on the pod, hopefully. But the bottles are so pretty.
They are cute. And they're also inexpensive, right?
Yeah. I think full size is 50 mls. I think it's like 80 something. Or is it like 90? It's like Ulta price.
88. That's a 88. Four. I mean, that's fine.
It's under $100. That's kind of like, it's unusual for a brand new niche fragrance brand to be under $100.
You know what? I'm going to say it. Because the bottles are, I mean, these bottles are genuinely artful. Yes. They're very cunty.
Yeah.
But because they are so beautiful and like $40 less, they're going to eat up Fleur. Like, talk to me in a year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're coming and this was the plan all along.
Yeah. Now all they have to do is just launch a fucking fragrance a month.
Yes. See you at the funeral.
Wait, so Lore's in Sephora?
Yeah.
Why did I think they were in Ulta? No, that's a lie. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, they look more Sephora geared than Ulta, I think. But they're really beautiful. I genuinely wonder how much money is behind this brand because everything looks expensive. Like,
well, she put together like the dream team to launch this brand. All the creatives on this brand are one of one.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain how you get the money.
Well, it explains that you have money. So, well, she's also like a veteran brand launcher. So, you know, it doesn't.
What is interesting in the little magazine they gave in the back with the credits?
It's a huge magazine.
It's a huge magazine. It's just like, it's just photos. It's just conceptual photos and sentences that make no sense. Mm-hmm. Melanie Bender, founder. Greg Gonzalez, co-founder. Joe Cloyes, co-founder. And then Mazdak Rassi, founding partner. Mazdak Rassi is also the founder of Milk Studios and Milk Makeup.
Well, didn't she help launch Milk too? She came from Milk.
She probably did. She probably did. But I was like, oh, okay. I see now. the foundations. Yes. So yeah, these are like all of the cool people in the creative world.
Well, and that's also how you launch at Sephora with like a crew like that. You know what I mean?
That's they already have the connections there. So
right.
It's But Lovely and a Little Twisted is really, really nice. I don't think it's that twisted. I'll be honest. I think it's just lovely. There, I said it.
I hope this collection is waiting for me downstairs.
I probably is.
And I can't wait to smell my way through.
Yeah. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like the one of the new three extraits from Parfums de Marly.
Oh,
this one, yeah.
You went to that event.
Of course I did. I've gone to every event ever made. this one's called Aragon. And I did go to the event on Tuesday night. It was really stunning. Well, it's funny because I was at this gorgeous venue off of Central Park. And all it was like a stunning venue, a lot of draped white fabrics and candles. And I was like, gag. But, you know, I was there having the time of my life. I basically just talked to Colby Makeup the entire time. And as I was leaving, they're like, which one is your favorite? And I was like, I didn't smell them. So when they were like, which one do you want to take home? I was like, which one's the sweetest? And Colby was like, the yellow. And so they gave me the yellow. And it is stunning. So the yellow one is called Aragon. And it is an extrait. The bottle is stunning. It's pretty smooth, but it has this like faceted horse kind of carved into the back of the glass. So it's like nice and dimensional. But that's not why I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it because it is stunning. It's very vanilla. It's very spicy. It's got bergamot, pink peppercorn, cardamom, and mandarin at the top, cinnamon, Divana, and cipriol in the middle, and then leather, tonka bean, vanilla bean, and patchouli at the base. And this is one of those ones that could go just like any way because of the bergamot, because of the patchouli, because of the leather. But
like you tell me those things and I have no idea what it could possibly smell like until I smell
it. Exactly. And I think I read that before I smelled it and I was like, okay, if you say so, but
sure.
It really leans into the spice of it all before anything else. I think the one thing that really pulls up to me, which I really love because I've been loving it lately, is the cardamom. And pretty soon behind that is the cinnamon and then the vanilla. So, I mean, it's spicy first and then sweet. It's just really, really nice. It wears on skin beautifully. And I don't know, this is sort of like exactly one of those things that I like really go for. I know it's sort of like everything, but this one especially is such a beautiful wear. I was wearing a sweater today and it was just cooking under there all day. It's so lovely. Ooh. It comes in this big badass wooden box with a hinge.
Of course. Are they $1 million? Because they're extraits.
They are. Good Lord. Well, turns out they're $550.
Wow.
So do with that information what you will.
Parfums de Marly has always been on the expensive side.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Like their shit's like $300.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so not shocked that the extrait is that much money, but good Lord. I think my thought of the week is, you know, now that everyone is calling themselves luxury and luxury has been so democratized, which is a good thing. What makes a fragrance read really quality to me is as much as like the scent profile itself, which, you know, inexpensive things can smell really high end, whatever the hell that means. It's the wear because things, this doesn't like punch you in the face with it, but this sticks around all day. It's really prominent on your skin and on your body. And it's not really getting into anyone else's personal space, but it is in mine in a way that an extrait that I would expect from an extrait. And so that is satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. I mean, it's a blend of many things that we've smelled many times. It does manage to, if not bring a new idea to the table, a really magnetic and pleasant one that is hard to do anything but love. So I don't know, I really like it. And I'm wearing it today to go back to the cardamom note because our guest today is the hair brand Sacred and very excited to welcome them for many reasons. But their new collection, the Protection Collection, has this really beautiful, really spice forward scent profile that to me, again, probably because I look for it, I pull a lot of the cardamom out of it and I'm obsessed with that. So I've been smelling that for the last couple of days and that plus this makes me like Cardamom Girl Winter, and I'm obsessed with it. So clearly Sable is a fan of
yes.
our hair care friends that we welcome today. Sacred is a brand that, if I'm not speaking out of turn, launched last year. And, you know, there are less celebrity brands in the hair care space. It obviously shook the table when Beyonce threw her proverbial mm-hmm. hat in the ring.
Yep.
But I think Sacred is a collection that has really risen to the top since it launched. And, you know, it's obviously very clicky. This is obviously going to go viral. But what to me makes it a mainstay is like, the real people out here are talking about and buying and using Sacred and then going back for another bottle, you know?
Yeah. I think when you have user retention, that's the true marker of a well-executed brand. And then when I actually did try the products, I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
They were clocked in that day at the product making factory. Like, I think like my bias with celebrity brands, I was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Mostly that. I was like, I'm sure this is fine. And then I used it and I was like, oh God, no, it's actually very, very good. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to face that fatigue from any brand, because you're right. There are just so many of them.
And I can't speak for you, but I've tried so many.
Because I'm bald.
But like, I've tried all of the fucking like best-selling beauty award-winning shit. And they're all like pretty good.
But thing of it is, you actually are able to try collections, even, you know, my hair trauma aside. It's like, what the fuck do I do to my hair? Shampoo and condition it. And I've had a buzz cut for the last 4 years. So it's like, you can actually speak to this where I'm just like, it smells nice. I love it.
No, but I was actually like, oh my God. And then I looked at the prices because I was like, well, I'm going to have to budget to rebuy these. So,
but they're not bad.
They're not bad. No, it's not like anyone who buys like Kérastase and like that tier, like you can absolutely afford this. So
really, I mean, it's an Ulta. She's for the girls.
Oh yeah, that's Ulta. Great. She's for the girls. But yeah, I was like genuinely like, holy shit. So, so hyped. I've done the whole routine, the hair oil ritual, the detox shampoo, the nourishing conditioner, and then the moisture sealing lotion. I also have the hair oil drops, but I think I just like use it a little bit in the ends. It's very concentrated stuff. You don't need to use a lot, which is great. If there's like a star of the lineup that I would absolutely keep stocked, it would definitely be the moisture sealing lotion. But that's because I'm an air dry person. I have like thick wavy hair, which always looks a little bit like Hermione Granger. And this actually makes
canceled.
I'm getting, you know, let me think of a better metaphor. It's giving witch's broom.
Yes.
My hair tends to look like, I like beat the shit out of my hair with chemicals. So that's par for the course. It's going to look like the end of a witch's broom because it's colored. But this makes it look like it is a human hair that grew out of my head the way it's supposed to look. And I'm like, wow. And it feels nice too.
Yeah. They also sent me a bunch of the collection. I am loving the shampoo from the new protection collection, as well as the conditioner from the foundation collection. And the edge drops, which help the growth of your hair, and we are all in a prayer circle. Also, they sent me the hair, I'm sure I'm getting their name wrong, the hairball. It's in a very shallow but wide pot, and that is the most beautiful expression of the fragrance from the second collection called Nocturne Oud. It's really spicy. It's nice and sweet, but not crazy sweet. It's so gorgeous. And I do use it on my hair a little bit, my inch long hair to say that I did, but I use it on my dry skin, on my knuckles and elbows, because it smells so, so pretty. And I just like want to smell it throughout the day. So don't tell them I told you to do that, because I'm, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't love that, but I do. So.
And now I want to try that too.
Do it. Well, I think with all of that, we should get right into it.
Hi, my name is Robin Melissa Watkins, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Product Development here at Sacred. In my role at Sacred, I oversee fragrance development, formula development, R&D, packaging development, testing, and regulatory. And before Sacred, I had my own product development consultancy practice, and it was called Holistic Beauty Group, and Sacred was actually one of my clients. And so I chose to join the team at Sacred because my vision was really in alignment to the brand's purpose, and that was really sharing those generational practices and ancestral wisdom and really bridging that gap with science. So I deeply connected with that purpose early on and really continued to be inspired by the ethos of the brand and continue to be curious about all the ways in which we can make this customer experience really a cultural experience as well. And I really stood at that intersection of science, wisdom, technology, and my role is really extremely technical in certain aspects. However, fragrance is really one of those areas where I can really let my creativity run wild.
And thank you, because I have used the whole sacred routine. I'm a night shower before recorded, and this is air dried.
Wow.
I do not wake up like this, and I woke up like this. It was wow. I was honestly shocked.
Wow. Let me tell you something. Sable doesn't go up for products like she does for sacred. She's been posting about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is some organic shit from her. She doesn't get like this about brands. I was looking at my phone, like, I was like, whoa.
I did the whole thing. I did the hair oil.
Okay.
The shampoo conditioner. I did the detox shampoo and then the nourishing conditioner. And then I think it's like the magic is in the moisture sealing lotion.
Moisture sealing lotion. Yes.
That is like, as far as air dry products go, unmatched.
Yeah.
So unmatched. It's incredible.
I agree. I love it. I'd love to hear everybody's experience. It's so unique. And what we did was we really went after all hair types, which is really hard to do. But honestly, how we thought about it was we worked ourselves backwards from highly textured hair. And hey, if we can solve for highly textured hair, we can solve for multiple hair types. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it really just made a lot of sense for us. And so we always enjoy hearing, you know, that kind of feedback.
I always think that when I see in the directions, if it says use sparingly, I'm like, okay, this is real. Like, this is like the real stuff.
Yeah, highly concentrated. And we'll get into that on the fragrances too, but all the formulas are very, very concentrated and sacred.
I mean, I just wanted to shout that out because these formulas are so, so good.
Thank you.
Love it.
Shout out
to
our whole team. But thank you so much.
And Robin, what do you smell like today?
Okay, this is a lot. So I actually layer. And I'm wearing a Blue Lotus Absolute from Teakoids, which is this brand that I really love out of Dubai that just does absolutes and oils and things of that nature. And then I'm laying that under Forever Mood. She was here. So I was gifted this. And let me tell you, I've never, ever been like a gourmand girl ever. Mm-hmm. And this is such a plot twist for me. Like, I just love this big Turkish rose, the amber, this lactonic milky vanilla. It's really nice and it's really sexy, actually. So this is a nice fall wear. So I've been layering this with, you know, any of my absolutes. I have tonka bean, I have vanilla, and I have Blue Lotus. So I did Blue Lotus today.
Ooh. Okay. So you're like a fragrance girl. You know your shit. You're layering. You're in the weeds.
Yeah. And I would say that most of my collection, you know, it looks like this. There are samples, things that I'm like in development on.
Yeah.
And, but I've always loved the oils. And so I think for the first part of my adulthood, I was very against commercial fragrances. And now I enjoy the commercial fragrances layered with my oil. Mm. So I've been enjoying this new discovery of these creator brands, and I got this as a gift, and again I'm just obsessed with it.
Jackie knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
We love her. So I guess we like to sort of set the scene before we get into all things sacred. But by the way, you were going over your role. You do so much for one brand. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
I actually started my career in fragrance. So fragrance has followed me throughout my career from job to job to job. It doesn't matter if I'm developing a hair item or a baby item or a fine fragrance or a lip care item. Or even nutraceutical. I've even developed some nutraceutical items. And we really spend a lot of time there on mouth taste and flavor. And that all correlates to fragrance. I was trained by a master perfumer named Douglas Little. I don't know if you guys know Douglas Little, but he has a brand called Heretic now. And he's been a master perfumer for a very long time. And I worked with him for several years. I worked in professional salon where I was in the lab and we had a test salon. So we were able to iterate and test in an actual salon and spa setting and just had a really unique experience. And then I worked for a Swiss-based company where I was leading R&D and product development for a European-based brand. And there's just a different set of criterion involved when you're dealing with European-based brands, and not just from a regulatory perspective, but just from a all-in, just formulation, functional, aesthetic direction. And I learned a lot there. I had a wonderful mentor who had a lot of patents as it related to fragrance processing technologies, and really taught me, you know, about solvent technologies and how to really source raw materials properly and all of that good stuff. And so I always took the fragrance piece with me along in my journey. And I really have always enjoyed that aspect of product development. And it's so important, whether you're creating skincare and you're looking to try to mask an odor of an active, or if you're making a bath product and you're trying to make something relaxing, you're trying to make something functional, you have to reach for a CO2 extract. So it's always really come full circle. But yes, my background is very broad because I've had to work at smaller companies, but I ended up working at Estee Lauder at the end of the day. And then when I got there, I really learned that I knew a lot. I had a lot of skills, and that's when I decided I was going to go ahead and consult. And that went over really well. I was very successful as a consultant. I ran my practice called Holistic Beauty Group for 6 years, and then again joined Sacred full time when we just collided in terms of our alignment. It was just so right. And yeah, I've been here ever since, just leading the charge and really enjoying it.
Isn't it cool to sort of, well, I'm sure it's cool to leave, you know, Estee Lauder, like one of the conglomerates, and then just wind up at one of the coolest hair brands in the industry. It's like, yeah. I did fine.
Yeah, I think when I made that decision, it was not very popular. Everybody was like, what are you doing? Those benefits, all that stuff. Yeah. But I think everything I've done in my career has led up to this moment. Mm. And I'm able to really flex my muscles, like all of them, and use my whole brain, my spirit. I pour everything into this brand and I really enjoy doing it. And I think that intentionality shows. And that's the part that I just get so excited about and inspired to work with as well.
You clearly know a lot about fragrance and have studied under a master perfumer. But before even all of that, what was your sort of personal relationship with scent growing up? You know, what role did fragrance play in your life? And it doesn't have to be fine fragrance. It can be just things you experience in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, I think fragrance has always played a role. In my childhood, my father wore Obsession, the prominent church ladies. They're in White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor. My mom had a knack for roses. So big, big, big floral, jasmines, roses. My mom had a rose garden. I have an aunt. Everybody has this aunt. My aunt Laura. Okay. She was like a former hippie baddie when I was younger, like, you know, but by the time I was coming up, she was just in full motherhood mode. But she would give me these really tight, lingering hugs. And she would hug me so tight and always transfer her perfume. And she was an oil wearer. She wore Egyptian musk. And so Egyptian musk would transfer on my clothes and on my skin whenever I was around her. And I remember getting on the plane, loving the fact that I smelled like her. And just the scent, the sense of like incense burning, whiskey in my household, bitter herbs. That's something else that comes to mind. And I think like all of those things have really shaped my fragrance palette. And that was really my baseline. And I tend to pull towards more like resinous bases, big floral hearts, aromatic qualities and things of that nature that really feel like a story. And so a lot of fragrance, and for sure, I remember like, I'm the youngest out of five. So my oldest brother, he was into CK1, you know, when that came out. And I remember trying it and not liking it very much, but still had an appreciation for it as a child, even.
I feel like we all have those benchmarks, like a CK1 or a White Diamonds that we can all sort of point to. Because I feel like there was so much less when we were growing up, weirdly. I mean, I know that mass fragrance has always been a thing, but my grandmother wore White Diamonds and my friends wore CK1. And it's like this common language growing up that we all share.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like CK1 is the connecting scent of all millennials. Like we all grew up with it. And then we're all like, ooh, that's like so cool. It's so cool. I mean, Calvin Klein in general was just like a very cool brand at the time.
Yeah.
So it is very resonant with all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was something of that time to where looking up to my siblings, like I really looked up to them. Mm. I think it's a little different today as like generations look at like Gen Zs, look at millennials or what have you. They kind of look down on us. The opposite.
I know.
But I remember like my brothers, I used to think they were so cool, and my cousins. Same. And I'm like the MTV generation. I'm like, oh, you guys are just everything. I'm like, I'm in between generations, literally. But it's just one of those things where I think it had that cool factor. And I think the cool factor played a big role in the 90s, you know, fragrance scene as well, for sure.
Definitely.
So do you want to talk to us a little bit about sort of fragrance in a category that is not fragrance itself? I mean, I think Sable is obviously more, maybe not obviously, but she is more well-read in hair products than I am, because I have never really done anything with my hair since. Because you have hair, because you're not losing it rapidly. But I would imagine, because hair frames your face, that you want it to smell like something, but not too much. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how do you approach fragrancing a hair collection, perhaps differently than a body collection or a lotion?
I think fragrance development for me and for us at Sacred is a really intentional step in our R&D process. And I would approach it from a product development perspective the same as I would a fine fragrance, because we want the profile to be there. We want it to be sensorial. We want it to function in the way that we want it to function. I think that as it relates to hair care, fragrance is that sensorial backbone. And it also provides a lot of physiological benefits, too, that really connect the olfactory and certain brain pathways that support mood, relaxation. And so we wanted to set up this fragrance to really play that role, to bring the self-care ritual to life in the shower, outside of the shower. And that aspect is where the fragrance comes in. So it's really playing that sensorial role, I think, for Sacred. Our temple oud, it really represents warmth, depth, care. And we wanted to make sure that the fragrance could really honor the hair ritual. And so with that, our approach was to really just not have it as like an afterthought. It was baked into the DNA of the actual product development. And so I think the approach from a technical perspective can be different as we're looking at different products in different categories, right? Because I developed, for example, a lot of, you know, lip products, and there's actually grass fragrances in these lip products. And so we actually perceive taste mostly from smell. So we would actually develop very specific types of olfactory notes for lip products. So you think you're tasting something. And so anyway, depending on the actual product category, the actual road to get there is different from a regulatory perspective, from a function perspective, and also just from a product application perspective. So if I'm developing a shampoo, I want it to bloom in the shower with the steam. I want you to have that sensorial, not so much the after smell. Like you might get a little bit of a hint of the base notes trailed behind. But for moisture selling lotion that you were just talking about, that one we want to be much more round. We want you to experience the cleanliness of the top note, that citrus sparkle note. We want you to experience that. So it does depend on the actual product itself. But the approach, I think we want to build something that's a signature, something that's a legacy from the beginning, whether it's something for hair or something for body or something for fine fragrance.
It's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I remember, I think ages ago, we had someone who's like more in the technical field describe that when they make scents for shampoos, they're looking for, they called it the bloom, which I love that phrase, in the shower when it lathers. And I was like, that's crazy that you have to test this scent, and every time you do, you have to wash someone's head with it.
Yeah, there's so many, like in your testing, like for example, if we've developed a candle, we want to test the hot throw, you know, we want to test the cold throw, what it smells like when it's not burned. And they actually, in a lot of the fragrance houses, have these chambers where they actually light candles, and you go and you peek your head and you smell it through like a chamber. And yeah. it's so many different ways to approach it. But ultimately, when I think about the actual fragrance DNA, I'm more on the fine fragrance track, and I like to develop things that are really complex and worthy, no matter what category we're sitting in.
Well, like, I'm always curious, when you're developing scents, what was the brief for the Sacred Collection? What kind of scent world did you envision?
Yeah, this is a unique story. So it actually all started with this oud vetiver accord. Mm. It contained jasmine, lavender, vetiver, white cedar, and oud. And I had built this years ago. And so, like fine wine, it just got better and better over time. And as a product developer, like, we always have these passion projects, these side projects. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just not the right time. Maybe it's not the right fit. But this was an accord that I actually built maybe 8 years ago. And I worked on it in the background and held it close to my chest. And I brought a sample of it to my first meeting. And it was approved on the spot to be used as the starting point for Sacred. Wow. So it was something that I had in my back pocket. And Grace Ray, who's the CEO, she always says, "Oh, Robin, you always have something in your back pocket." I think I'm Mary Poppins, by the way. I have like a bag of tricks all the time. But it's just something that I fell in love with. And I just didn't know what I was going to do with it. But something told me this is going to be really, really special and profound. Mm-hmm. And it really held that character. And so then what we did have a brief from there. We had to build upon it from there. So we actually made the brief tailor the scent, the oud vetiver accord, to hair. So we tailored it by adding notes that were fresh at the top. We added more floral character in the middle. And we actually were really inspired by Miss B's like body of work. In particular, I looked at some of her visuals and looked at different places that she shot her visuals. And we put together this intention really for the fragrance to serve as a bridge, really to connect olfactory memories from the past, present, and future. And we interpreted that through the base notes, the middle notes, and the top notes. And so really, like, the base really honors the ritual, the ancient rituals, the passing down of the wisdom. That's where we're going to see those woody notes, the amber, the woods, the musk. The middle really embraces the present and being in the now and linking those notes to performance and seeing like a better version of ourselves. And that's like those textural greens. That's those comforting florals. That's the soft musk. And then for the top notes, this really represents the future and really welcoming change, science and technology being fluid. So we have these like watery fluid notes at the top, along with a sparkling citrus. And I think what we did different was we built from a bottom-up perspective with this fragrance creation. And we started with the base in mind and worked our way up from there. And we completed so many rounds, various mods. We tested on various different hair applications from shampoos to stylers and landed on a clear winner. We moved into safety testing from there. And that really enabled us to really feel confident about what we were doing. And I just want to say, like, there's just so much craftsmanship that was put into this, from the aromatic ingredients that were sourced to the perfumer who helped us put it all together. We really accomplished this goal of having a functional fragrance that felt really high-end and balanced that wearability with safety and longevity at the same time. And so it was really difficult to work with. It's actually a quite delicate fragrance. And so we weren't able to maximize the fragrance in any of our bases. And I can get into more of that later. But I think ultimately, this is something that we would wear as a fine fragrance, you know?
Totally.
But it did start with one accord, and that we built it up around this desire to bridge the past, present, and future.
Wow.
That's so cool.
I was actually thinking as I was using the products, I was like, this doesn't smell the way I expected, in the sense that I feel like our brains have this expected notion of what hair products smell like. And it's very fresh, it's very clean and detergent-y, and if anything, like, quite floral. But this was very grounding, and I want to say earthy, but I feel like earthy is like maybe like too flat of a adjective. But there is something very like warm and cozy and like a little spicy that felt like like using a fine fragrance, like a niche artisanal fine fragrance as like shampoo. Yeah.
I think the name too is like really spot on, because it's sort of, you're right, Sable, it's clean, but not in a shampoo-y way. Yeah. It almost reminded me of like Stone in an odd way. Yeah. And Temple Oud, yes. I guess, makes perfect sense because it does feel sort of stone like a temple, but also sort of like incense-y, but not in a way that would repel me in my hair.
It's not veering incense-y in a hippie way, but it was giving more bougie wellness resort than like hippie incense.
I'll take that. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's so funny to like hear everyone talk about it out loud. I like to do these things with my team where we describe the fragrance as a place and time. So if it doesn't take you anywhere, then we're on the wrong track, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're like, what sounds do we hear? Where are we? We're like in the middle of a, you know, desert oasis on the Nile River. Like we're at different places in time and we're feeling really good and cared for and well, you know, and, you know, it might be a little cheesy, but it's one of those things that we really look for when we're developing a fragrance for it to take you somewhere and to make you feel alive, you know, and you can envision a place and time.
That's a great litmus test. What's the transport of quality? As the Gen Zs say, like, does it have motion?
Yeah, I think this one does. Yeah, for sure.
I'm interested to know, because that was Temple Oud, the fragrance of the initial collection from Sacred, but the newer collection, the Protection collection in the really rich blue bottles has its own fragrance, Nocturne Spice, which I'm like actually obsessed with. But before we get into that fragrance specifically, I would just love to know sort of the reasoning behind giving, and forgive me if it's obvious, but giving a different collection its own sort of signature scent and the thought behind that.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy decision. Obviously, there are two different collections. We love Temple Oud, and I think where we're going is no matter what, we'll have some type of olfactory DNA that's threaded between all of our products. But what happened with Protection is that we were just being very intentional. Protection has its own technology that's called the phytoferment. And the phytoferment is actually slightly herbaceous and it has its own quality. It has its own herbal essence to it. So ultimately, we wanted to build a scent around it. We actually didn't want to mask it. We wanted it to veil through. So we actually worked with a very, very intentional perfumer to really complement the phytoferment. And so the phytoferment has goldenrod, golden seal, it has rosemary in it, tea tree. These are very, very like herbaceous notes. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to make something that felt very special, like Temple Oud, really crown worthy, but still let the formula shine through, because these are very, like, these formulas were actually inspired by herbalism, but, you know, definitely elevated by science. And so we wanted that to show it through. So one of the things that's interesting about Nocturne Spice is that it has a duality to it. It's very cooling, but very warm at the same time, or like cool and spicy at the same time. And so lavender serves as the bridge connecting that sort of like herbal vitality to the warmth of the scent, which is actually gourmand. And so I really love it too. But yes, the intention was really to make something that felt crown worthy and special. We were inspired by lapis, which is the stone that we were looking at for Protection. You had mentioned stone for our Temple Oud, you're spot on with that. And so I think with Nocturne Spice, it's really like a sensorial exploration of worth and care and things like that, that felt more regal. And so we wanted to actually support the technology that we had in there instead of masking it or competing with it. And so I think it's a real first fragrance innovation to do that, because it's actually really difficult. And secondly, I think just a beautiful sensorial experience. We have notes like cinnamon and cardamom and exotic florals built into the Nocturne Spice that really complement the herbal vitality very well.
Nice.
I love Nocturne Spice so much. You sent me the balm in the little jar. And I like it so much that I've been wearing it on my knuckles. And
oh,
I know that's not the use case. So like, but I have so, my hair is so short that I don't need a lot of product. So I'm just like, where else can I put this? Because it does smell so good.
People say that, by the way, people use it for everything. Okay, this has the most like off-label uses ever. People use it in all kinds of ways. So not surprised, you're not alone in that, okay, in that aspect.
Great.
I usually get my hands up for that. People are like, shut up, that's not what we approved it for. So yeah. Good to hear.
Nocturne Spice also has, I think, Sable, one of your favorite notes, the pink pepper as well. Ooh. So
oh my God, you have been listening.
Yeah, pink pepper is one. I know that's your jam. So that's in there too. And so it gives it that textural quality to it. It's really nice.
Nice. I always think pink pepper, just like a little bit, just gives everything a tiny bit of almost static electricity shock, just like a little bit of a texture or something.
Yeah, I agree. So I agree.
I'm curious to know, Sacred has so many different formats within hair care, you know, and translating one fragrance into different formats. Can you talk to us about sort of, is it difficult? What goes into it? Do you have to sort of modify the fragrance to this ingredient in the product itself? Like, what does that look like?
Absolutely. I think the best way to tackle it is to look at each base and to modify. So we have our traditional Temple Oud or Nocturne Spice, but we do have to do mods for different types. And so that's the only way to really harmonize the scents throughout the collection as close as we possibly can. So we might make a water-soluble version, like we did a water-soluble version for our edge drops, for example, whereas we have an oil-soluble version for our nourishing hair oil. And so we try to give the same quality, but that's really my trick. Like I won't compete with that. It's just, it's a different substrate, if you will. So we act accordingly. And not only that, one of the things that we've done with our fragrance work is we actually concentrate our fragrances because they're so complex. So we concentrate them so we don't have to use as much. So we use low levels, but we use really, really highly concentrated and like potent fragrance oils. And again, what we do in a shampoo or a mask might be different than what we do in our water-soluble, you know, drops. So that's our approach as it relates to making the scent harmonize throughout the collection.
Nice. I always wondered about that because, I mean, the balm smells so good, but it's essentially a solid, you know, and
that's
then
right.
You have everything else. So it so fascinates me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking that the edge drops smelled almost a little bit more floral than like the thicker products in a nice way. And I think it kind of actually, like you said, it kind of harmonizes together.
Right? Yeah.
Like these are like a nice two good like scent profiles to layer almost.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Because that middle is more coming through than on the drops, which is nice. And so you're getting less of that sticky, that resinous sort of base note because we did that water-soluble version. We need it to be lighter as it goes on to the hair and specifically to the scalp.
The edge drops specifically, I don't want to say they're the sleeper hit of Sacred because I feel like everyone is talking about them. But, you know, we have this whole beautiful collection and I feel like that really quickly sort of rose at least to the top of the headlines and social that I've been seeing. It is a selfish question because I'm interested specifically, but can you talk a little bit about just the edge drops and why they're such a hit?
Yeah, I think it's because they work, you know. I'm so proud of those drops, let me tell you, because we were trying to do something really intentional. When we think about hair growth, it's a hard category, right? Because people tend to have thinning hair or to experience hair loss for a multitude of reasons. And so we really didn't want to pin on one. We actually wanted to go after the health of the hair growth cycle. So optimizing the hair growth cycle is the approach that we took. And so we actually did an approach where we looked at well-studied peptides that are signaling peptides. And we chose those really because they were going after different pathways of hair growth, whether it be, you know, a stress pathway to stimulate follicles. There's some that help with anchoring the hair. So it's actually extending the hair growth cycle. We have peptides that actually help to strengthen the scalp dermis and really help to support collagen and laminin. So all of these things together really get you to a better quality scalp, which ultimately gets you to better growing hair. And so we thought that that would be our approach. We actually did a ton of testing on it. I love to see the science breakdowns, by the way. I'm like TikTok when people talk about, well, here's what did it. And I'm like, 30% of the time they're right. Like it's really, it's not, no one's really right. We have a right. patented, we have a patented technology in our drops that mm-hmm. really pushes us over the edge. Mm-hmm. Our patented bioactive keratin ferment by far really activates that formula to take it over the edge. But I think it works because of our approach. I think our approach was very holistic. When we think about a lot of things in the market, they're actually going after the stimulation factor. And that's it. Like you can do that. But what about the quality of the hair that's growing and the quality of the skin, the quality of the collagen under the, you know, under the scalp dermis? So that's been our approach. And I think that's why people are seeing such amazing and transformative results. And, you know, we continue to see like, you know, testimonials every single day. And yeah, we're really excited that people are finding a product that works for them.
Yeah. It's funny you said about TikTok because I feel like just because you read the ingredient list doesn't exactly mean you know how it works because you don't see the dosage or the percent of each of the ingredients and actives, right? So it's like, yeah, you know what's in it, but you don't exactly know the way it all works together, right? And I think that's sort of what people are missing when they, you know, get on TikTok and open their big mouth. And I include myself in that. So
I love when they read the IL and or the ingredient list and they're like, well, it's in here at this level because this is where it is on the ingredient list. And I'm like, but you don't know the potency of what we're using. You don't even, you know, so it's so much more to it, I'll say, but I take it as a compliment and that people are doing breakdowns on the drops. And but it's a fantastic formula and we're really, really excited about it. And so do you use it yourself?
Yes. Yes, I do. Okay. It's the first thing when y'all reached out, I was like, I don't care what you send, but can you send those edge drops, please?
How have your results been going? How's
well, it it's only, I mean, what would you yes. say? Well, it's been like
it's
2 weeks.
Like two weeks. I started using them a couple days ago. Mm. So I'm behind you. But I have a lot of hair. I have very thick and very dense hair. But this area, like around the, I don't know, my forehead, I'm noticing there's a little baby regrowth. Mm-hmm. And because I have so much hair, I just don't know when I lose it because I shed so much anyway. And then I was like, okay, regrowth suggests hair loss. So like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So I want to, like I wanted to use them to get them to catch up with the rest of my hair.
Yeah, it's quite nice. And so, yeah, just use it, you know, make sure you're consistent and use it for at least like 2-3 months, you know, and you'll really experience a result at that point.
Wow.
When I tell you it's the first thing I do when I get out of the shower before I even touch my skin, I'm like, there's one thing I'm not forgetting today. It's that.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a mullet in 2 months.
Listen, I'll take anything. Just give me some goddamn hair. Anyway, Robin, we didn't break you with this question. Sorry, but I can't believe it didn't put on the list. I would love to sort of ask you a 2-pronged question about the packaging. Because one, it's obviously so cool. But I think what maybe gets missed when you see it on the shelves or see it in photos is that the applicator itself, when you yank the cap off, is very different than what you often see in hair. I mean, the shampoo I'm using right now has a nozzle. I would love to hear about the overall design, but then also the intentionality behind the application as well.
Mm-hmm. I think overall, the design, we're really inspired by ancient, you know, statue stone. I think Miss Tina had went on a trip to Greece and came back with all these textured vases and vases. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, okay. So we knew we wanted to do something textured. I think where we innovated was doing a squeezable textured plastic that looks like stone. That was actually a big feat within itself. We had to create all new molds. Everything is custom from the ground up, you know, all new engineering everything. And the caps. So the caps are representing almost like different hats you wear. And if you actually look at even ancient African art, you see the different hats that women are wearing. And so that was a little point of inspiration. At one point, the working name for one of our, I think it was our Nourishing Hair Oil cap, was the pyramid cap or the Nefertiti cap. So we are really inspired by, again, ancient art and things of that nature. And so we wanted to really bring that to life and do something that was really beautiful and aesthetic in the shower and that felt really high-end and just glorious. The piece that I think is really good for example, our moisture sealing lotion, We have an orifice reducer, which is nice because it just squeezes right out. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make uncomplicated dispensing as a part of the process. And so you have a disc cap in our shampoo. There's that orifice reducer and the actual moisture seal. Our oil just sort of, you know, has a dropper and it just drops out. So the approach was we wanted to create something beautiful and functional at the same time. What's also really nice about our packaging in terms of the texture is that it helps in the shower from it gliding out of your hand. And so it has a grip, it has a grippiness to it as well. And so all of those things we took into account under development. So it wasn't just about the aesthetic and design. We also wanted to make sure that it was functional, but the inspiration was definitely stone and those types of aspects as we looked at the bottles. And then the caps, obviously, those were inspired by hats, if you will.
That's awesome.
They're also just like very functional to pull apart or twist. Mm-hmm. Like from an accessibility angle, I was like, oh, this is so much easier to, especially, yeah, in the shower when things are slippery. It's good to have like a chunky thing you can grip.
Yeah, we actually got a really good feedback from people with certain disabilities. They wrote to us when we first launched, and that was just really encouraging to see that there is something like even the largeness of some of the caps were just easier to screw off. And so those are the things that we're just continuing to think about. I think the packaging development just from here, you see it with the first two collections. It's pretty stunning, and we definitely want to keep that going in the future.
Not this episode about me being bald. How cool. I mean, to hear that they really approach their fragrances like a fine fragrance was a surprise to me. I think of fragrance formulas embodying hair a little bit more linearly like that. But it was truly like base note, middle note, top note. I mean, that was why. And you can smell it in the product too. It really does.
No, you can. And the first time I used it, obviously, I knew we would be talking to them for the show, and I knew we would be talking about the scent. So, of course, I was, you know, focused on that. And like, genuinely, I meant what I said, where I was like, this does feel like I'm shampooing myself with an artisanal niche fine fragrance. And then my next thought was like, how come they make all the shampoo smell the same? Like the world. I'm like, how come everybody makes the shampoo smell like that? Like, why don't they ever go outside of the box?
Yeah, that foundation collection and the white components really I was like left it in my hair longer than I would have just because I was like, what's going on here? It's so nice. I'm just not used to this kind of smell up here, you know, on my big ass head.
I expect like soap bubble, floral, like detergent-y smell.
But in the same way, sorry, not to like simp for a brand, but there's a lot of profiles that I wouldn't want on my head. You know what I mean? Whether they would stick around or not. Like I will say it's called Temple Oud. And we know I'm not like God's strongest soldier when it comes to ouds. It doesn't really hit you like an oud. I mean, in a way that would spook me. It's just really elevated. And sorry, that word's been beaten to death. But yeah, it's not something that's like so heavy and heady that it's like, God, get it off me. Yeah, it's just really, really
nice. I honestly, like, obviously I knew the name was had oud in the name, but I didn't clock oud. My mind went more towards vetiver.
Yeah.
Like a woody something, like woody and like spice, like not necessarily a resinous oud, but you're right. It's very well balanced.
I love it.
I feel like if we don't get the floral shampoo bubbles, we get like herbal hippie.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want that either. I don't want that.
I just want clean hair.
I just want clean hair that smells like...
I just
like...
want any sort of hair at this point.
I just want hair.
It's really not as bad as I'm making it seem, to be clear.
Yes, who, by the way, has a full head of hair. Tynan, who can grow a full head of hair? You just haven't for a while. Yeah, my brother did a glow up this year where he also has had a buzz cut for like a decade plus. And then I was like, bro, you're 42 and divorced. You need to flaunt what you've got. And what you've got is a full head of hair. Grow it out.
I think buzz cuts are sexy. I don't know. I don't care. I'll take it.
It depends. I feel like it also like always sends a specific vibe. I always think like skater boy or like, I don't know, like, I'm a tough guy. I don't know.
That was the vibe I was trying to send.
Okay. Well, mission accomplished.
Clearly.
Anyway, now my brother looks like a fucking K-pop star. And I was like, there you go. Go get yourself another wife.
And this time, another wife. Do we have to end this show, girl? Well,
someone marry my brother.
Thank you, Sacred. Sorry, Beyonce. I'm excited to continue to use these products and to continue to do this successful podcast. you can follow us online. What do we say? Follow us on Instagram, smellyoulater.mp3.
You can go to our website. Visit our website. We are at smellyoulater.live. You can leave us a voice note. You can shop our merch. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Table Tooth Tigra.
I'm at Italian Buck. And until next time, we will
smell you later.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.